Yes, y'all. Welcome in to episode 146 of the Dumb Marks Podcast. It's your boys, your favorite Saturday brunch bunch, back at it again. The wholesome foursome pause is back all together again. You know, stuff continues to pile up and life gets in the way. So,
true story.
Yes, very true.
See, Donald has a hoodie on and it's 80 some degrees, so there's that.
Central air, baby.
Ridiculous.
I thought Bobby Lashley's line last night was going to be more about Jason, but I think we can reference that to Donald tonight.
Yeah, the hoodies and the sweats, yeah. Dressed appropriately. And well, none of us are really dressed up for the college, right? So, how we living? How we feeling? Everybody good?
Yeah.
Good. Doing? Appreciating holding down the fort. The freaky four-way. Starting it early. Appreciate you guys holding down the pod last week. Like I said, sometimes life continues to throw haymakers at you, and you got to dip, duck, dodge, dive, and dodge.
Don't forget the other dodge.
Yeah, 5Ds as stuff comes up. So, yeah, all good. Back at it. Yeah, here we are again. Another week in pro wrestling coming up. Busy month starting from now till the end of August, beginning of September.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Crazy, ridiculous month in pro wrestling. A lot to get into, a lot to go over. Some good, some bad. We'll cover it in Mount Rushmore and Jabroni of the Week, as we always do, breaking down the highlights of the week from each one of us. But before we get started with that, anybody got anything for the week? I know, Jay, you were a very poor adult / uncle / watcher of child. Letting your nephew just roll off the couch. not even.
He's grown now.
He's grown now.
This is old enough to catch himself.
Yeah, you can tell.
You put the hand out like Simba.
Life lessons. That's what I call it. I call it life lessons. Get you stronger.
There's life lessons, and then there's just flat out just letting them get hurt for no reason. Just flat out.
I need my enjoyment.
Fall off. Yeah, I know.
Jason was taking his nap too. That was more important.
When I say I was zoned out.
Hey, I can't help you until I help myself. So that's all.
What help I'd have been? I had to get off the couch. I'm 40. I'm 40. Train to get off the
couch. Unless there's a fire or something, a flood, a natural disaster, it's going to take me a minute to get up off this couch.
There ain't no my step no more. I can't tell you the last time I ran or anything. There ain't no quick 50 nowhere. It's all delayed reaction now.
Just constant slow motion for no reason.
You just move your head up a little bit, see what's happening. Man, I'm good.
Yeah, you're still in standard definition. There's games being played in 4K, 8K, and everything else. You want a 13-inch tube TV.
Steve, I know we're getting there closer, but don't forget they're already past that 40. So
yeah, I know they're up over that, hanging on by a thread here.
Feel weird saying,
literally. Literally. That was my foot all week, literally hanging.
My knee.
Terrible. So
got these guys walking around this week. This is
ridiculous. You can't be having crutches, not able to get off the couch to save your nephew from falling and hitting his head. Gout / swollen foot / whatever else. Like, this isn't knee braces and icy hot. Okay, that's not what we're gonna, this is renamed to show that knee braces and icy hot. That's what we're gonna
call it. I think it might need to be.
Yeah, it's just knee braces and icy hot. That's gonna be the new name of the podcast.
We're officially on the decline.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Decline is only a mentality, bro. You got to change up the mental game.
Change the recline. That's it. Recline, recline. I'm recline. Sorry.
Yeah, he's too lazy to even pull the lever on the recliner. He got the one with the push button. Hit the button.
That's too far.
Then he really can't get up.
What'd you do to your back? Lean back too much.
My lazy boy went back too far. Terrible. Well, great way to open the show. So enough of the geriatric bullshit. Let's get into the world of pro wrestling. Huge week. Like I said, ramping up to a lot of main pay-per-views, PLEs, all-ins, all-outs, pause. That's what she said. But however, but it's sliding in whatever joke you want there.
The Great American Bash.
Bash is tonight. Collision is tonight. Bash is tomorrow. 30th. Yeah. I'm getting my days confused.
I know. It doesn't feel like that. Yeah.
So, we're here. Collision. Big match tonight. FTR versus MJF. Better than you, baby. Adam Cole. Get into it. Where would you guys like to start? Mount Rushmore? We start positive or we start negative? Mount Rushmore or Jabroni? Where you want to go?
I'm going to interrupt you real quick. I see my mailman is a female, so if you see me going in, so I'm trying to see who she is and what she is. He's a new one.
Start walking now.
He said it's a new one.
So who get up off the couch quick for that?
Get up off it. Maybe sign something today? No, I'm going to delivery. I can sign something for you.
Why don't you just give me your number, and this way I can meet you at the truck so you don't got to walk all this way. Yeah.
I go out there in this heat.
You want some water? I got a neck wrap you can borrow. Just bring it back on your way back to your house.
That's when you know it'll be love for Jason whenever he sits there and says, I'll come meet you.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Boy. Positive or negative? Where we at? Let's vote. Where you want to start? Mount Rushmore or Jabroni?
Let's go Mount Rushmore.
All right. I'll kick it off since I wasn't on the pod last week. I had bullets in the chamber to unload last week, but it's over. It's in the past, so I'm not gonna harp on it, especially for Jabroni. But for my Mount Rushmore this week, it's plain and simple. It's Jey Uso. Hook, line, and sinker last night. You got me to buy in. There's the seed of doubt planted that he could actually pull this off. I thought the opening segment was just brilliantly done with them. Jey, the lights coming on, Jey in the ring, Roman's music hits, and then they go back and forth. Jey telling no lies, unlike CM Punk, who lies all the time. Pro, there you go. Jey told no lies last night. And because he told no lies and kept it 100% real, I'm on board. I'm invested. Roman sold the shit out of it. I think it's the most doubt we've seen on Roman's face and expression since he started this masterful title reign 3 years ago. And I'm ready. SummerSlam can't get here soon enough. Let's go. I don't even need them to interact next week. I'm all in right now. Because all you can do is mess it up, and I think last night was the perfect dismount for the match. So give me Jey Uso as my Mount Rushmore of the week. And then to follow that up with the slap to Grayson Waller's face in the backstage segment was just a chef's kiss. Waller played that beautifully as well. He's been getting a lot of rubs. Pause. Mm-hmm. You got Edge.
Giving Grayson Waller rubs.
You got
rumor has it that he's going to be doing some of that SummerSlam.
Yeah. Somebody big. Yeah, I mean,
you can get all the rubs you want to until I see it on screen.
You keep poking rock.
I need to believe it. You can say all you what you want. I give the man a rub. Until I see it on screen, I don't believe anything.
But let Waller continue with that character.
Oh yeah.
You know, you have Randy Orton way back in the day as the Legend Killer. Mm-hmm. And it built Orton up, and then he had that match with Foley, and it was like, okay, you're here. And then Taker with the feud, like, he parlayed that Legend Killer run into Randy Orton that we know today. Yeah. So if you're going to start off with the rub of Waller, pause, and you're just going to have Grayson Waller act like he's giving everybody else the rub and coming out like, oh, you're better because you were in there with me. Let him run with that character. It's something different. It's not the selfie, just cocky, full of himself type person that we saw in NXT. Like, he has a purpose if he runs with that. So let him go with that and build off of that and see what they can do. Because I think you can get creative with something like that. You know what I mean? You could have him interact with multiple people. He can be backstage. He could be in Gorilla next to Hunter. Like, I'm going to give you the rub booking. Like, whatever. Like, there's different ways you can do it. There's different things you can do to get creative and make it interesting and fun and still make you want to see him get his ass kicked, which at the end of the day is what we signed up for last night. Like, you slapped the fool in the mouth, and then you went out there and you beat him in the main event. Go home happy, lights out, show's over, job well done. So, but everybody involved in that last night was great, but Jey Uso stood out to me this week, Mount Rushmore.
And for Grayson, you already have the name, the Grayson Waller effect. So that's what it is. You know, you do that, that's what it is. It doesn't have to be just the show. It's that effect that we'll have on things. And I'm with you, Dom, right now. I'm not there yet, but I'm interested in seeing where this ride goes down the road.
Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting to see what Solo plays. Would roll. Mm-hmm. That's it.
I did like their little spear spike finisher. I was like, okay.
Yeah, sign me up for that being a tag team.
I was like, all right.
I am interested because Roman brought up the fact that, you know, you took all this away from Jimmy. Jimmy was supposed to be the guy, but he got hurt. And you selfishly took everything from him and parlayed it to where you are now. Somebody on, I think it was Twitter or one of the sites, I forget where, so I apologize for not giving you proper credit. Again, this week has just melted into just time flying by. But somebody was saying that Jimmy will be back at SummerSlam and turn on Jay, and that leads to Jimmy and Jay's program to have their WrestleMania match that they talked about in an interview last month or 2 months ago. But I feel like that's too far out to happen.
Yeah.
And there's still too much for them to do. Like, I see that happening, like they said, as part of their retirement send-off, we're done, last match, call it a career. I don't think you need to rush that and do that now just for the sake of doing it now. But Solo is the wild card in all of this. You know, I think Jimmy will be back at SummerSlam during the main event. Don't know what role he'll play, but I'd be shocked if they actually just let them two go at it and decide a clean finish, considering it's a tribal rules match with tribal combat with no DQ and everything else.
So what are the stipulations? I was seeing blood. Nobody within the blood can interfere. That was what I was seeing last week. And this week I was seeing it's no DQ.
Me and Dawn laid it out last week. Punjabi prison match. Just
that's it.
Just painted red. That's
all. I made you add palm trees to it.
The fact that Punjabi prison match got referenced twice 2 weeks in a row on this podcast just shows what type of bullshit yins are on right now. I have no idea. I mean, if nobody from the bloodline gets involved, great. Then why'd you have Solo do what he did this week? Because you prevented him from doing it last week. So if you were going to continue that on after you had the meeting of the minds and, you know, the mutual exchange of respect, like, okay, it's based on the family rules, tradition, everything else. Nobody else gets involved. Then Solo shouldn't have done what he did last night.
Yeah.
Roman should have cut him off again. So I don't know. Like, to me, it's just going to boil down to your basic standard, no DQ, typical weapons match, and we'll see what happens from there. So I'm not so much worried about the exact stipulations. I'm just more worried about the execution and how they continue to parlay the story. Because every time we get to a point where we think, okay, there's no more meat left on the bone, we can't do anything else, they do something else with this story. So where do you go from here to continue to run this? Well, so I don't know if you guys caught this, but I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, Umaga's son made his professional wrestling debut. Not that you would have just call him in and throw him right up on the main roster with the bloodline, but at the same time, it's out there to where, you know what I mean? Like,
nobody right now he's not blood.
Yeah, nobody thought Solo was going to get called up and have as important of a role as he had since he debuted at the Clash. Like,
almost a year now.
Almost a year now. So,
year from past.
Yeah. So I'm here. Let's go. I'm in. I'm invested. You know, I wouldn't say I'm fully invested on the entire card of SummerSlam, and we'll break that down next weekend. But that main event got me sold.
Did the son just start wrestling, or is he just getting
noticed?
Just started.
Oh, just okay.
Yeah. And I mean,
Clint Solo was wrestling for a while before he came up to even NXT.
Yeah, but I mean, you want to talk like a carbon copy of somebody? Like he's a little thinner, but I mean, it's Umaga. Like it's he's that. Like literally, you know, like Big Pun and his son. Like you listen to them rap, and it's like I don't know who's who because they sound exactly the same. Same thing, just from a wrestling perspective. So, yeah. But yeah.
My Mount Rushmore is in AEW, so if we got WWE. Yeah.
Mine's in NXT, so when we go through the NXT matches, I'll cover it in there.
Chris with the NXT? Yeah. Man.
Wow. Y'all are throwing major curveballs today. Donald AEW, Chris NXT.
Don't get all excited.
WWE, period. But.
I got one A and one B, but I can save, because one's AEW too, and I can save that for another day.
Let's go. Donna, what do we got? AEW, what do you got this week?
I got two of them. Jericho finally accepting and going to the Callis family. I'm okay with that. And
doing a Hogan a rub.
and last night on our Rampage, Kip Sabian and Commander was a great match. Man, probably the best match of the night that was on there.
All right, so two points to counteract your Mount Rushmore. And this is not a jabroni, but just to play devil's advocate, because I was absolutely just over Rampage last night, and they should just cancel the show.
Yeah.
Like that show was perfect. The absolute worst battle royal I've ever seen in my entire life. You had sometimes nine guys just standing there looking around, not doing anything. And the way that they shot the Battle Royal last night did not help to hide the fact that you just had multiple people at multiple times during the match standing there not doing anything. I mean, Satnam Singh, how many times are you going to drop down and bend, like, put your hands on your knees and act like you're out of breath? Like, you're a giant. You're supposed to be throwing people over the top rope left and right. You're 7'6". Victor Wembanyama is the only person taller than you on the planet right now. And you're just in the ring with your hands on your hips, like you're playing head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
He probably blew up early.
Pause. Is this like the third battle royal in a row on Rampage?
It was for a title shot. So, I mean, the booking aside. But, yeah, Rampage, I was so just turned off by that. I didn't even watch the Sabian match, even though it's like, oh, hey, Kip, I forgot you even were around.
When they announced the match, I was just like, I thought he wasn't even under contract anymore.
I didn't even know until they were coming out the thing. I was like, okay.
When he supposed to be playing Scorpio one of these days?
Yeah, I think Scorpio was – I think that was last week something happened on Collision, and they pulled a switcheroo with the card because Scorp got injured. But, yeah, I got a lot to say about Rampage and just AEW as a whole, which is going to be my jabroni of the week.
I got there,
too. But not gonna hate on the match itself, because they did have a good match, and you forgot who Kip Sabian was because he hasn't wrestled in how long.
Exactly.
So yeah, not gonna hate on that. All right. So who's the other one?
I said Jericho going to Callis family.
Look, I'm over Jericho.
Because I can't stand JAS. I never liked JAS.
I'm gonna catch a lot of heat for this, but Jericho needs to hang him up.
I'm with you. I'm over the stick.
I'm over the spiel. The different characters, versions, ring gears doesn't mean a thing to me anymore. I legit get nervous every time you're in your ring and you try to do that freaking off the rope moonsault, the line salt. I get nervous. You're going to break your neck every single time. You're 52 years old. Stop doing it. Like, I'm just over him. And the fact that they're even thinking about putting him and Ospreay in the ring together at All Out as the only rumored match that's even a sniff of something mentioned 4 weeks out from your 77,000+ crowd show that you're selling out in Wembley Stadium is just a complete and utter disaster.
Yeah. Ospreay deserves better.
Yeah.
I agree with you there.
So I know it's more of a rant, on your Mount Rushmore, but at the same
time,
it's your opinion. Jericho does nothing for me in 2023. Get him off my screen.
To be truthful, that was the only thing that I liked about Dynamite. I hated everything else about Dynamite, but we'll get on that during the brevity.
JAS is running scores. You know,
yes, it did. That's why I liked them moving on.
And whatever happens next with the rest of the crew, we'll see. But
I don't give a damn.
With Jericho on the mic, like whenever he first started doing commentary, like during the pandemic, he was great. And then like whenever they came back and they did Rampage and he started doing commentary, but like as a character, it's been horrible.
Yeah.
So if he would say retire from in-ring and just go back to just doing normal commentary, that could be a spot for him. You know, keep him on the air, you know, be in the company, help younger talent. But if he retires, I mean, 30+ years, he's had a good run.
I mean, at some point you start to diminish everything that you built up. There's a point where you eclipse the plateau of hanging on too long. And I just don't right now, this year in particular,
it's too much.
It's been that way for Jericho this entire time. Like, I thought the JAS had potential because he could just kind of be the figurehead and let everybody else run with it and be the puppet master directing the puppets. But then you continued to play the stupid Judas song and you didn't change up anything, so you really didn't lean into the group full throttle, and just it never worked the way that it was. I don't even know if it was intended to work a certain way, but whatever they did with it was not good.
But like you said, be the puppeteer and be used sparingly. You can't be, and you shouldn't be in
then everybody else
with everybody.
Yeah.
You be the puppeteer, and you when you need to jump in, jump in. I don't need to see you every week wrestling involved in the majority of the storyline. Let your crewmates do all that.
Yeah, you 4 years ago when the company started, be the guy because you had the most name value. But now you're 4 years into this. I don't need you in the prominent roles in the prominent spots.
That could be somebody. That could be somebody younger spot. Literally, like that. As much TV, especially this past year, as much TV time as he was getting, two or three spots in a Dynamite, that could be a couple different people's spot on TV.
And if it's not in the same way. Like
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it's like his evolution is not hitting the same way in this iteration. No. So like the little bit of the bubble and Le Champion and all that, like that hit. The freaking I'm a wizard for as dumb as it was, it was hilarious because he was throwing fireballs in people's faces. And it's like, okay, we got to, but like now you're just look like he looks like the old rock band that just tours around based off of their hits from 30 years ago. And I don't need to see you sing the same songs that I've heard for 30 years anymore.
That is kind of his gimmick, isn't it? Just in general.
So if he joins Callis, who takes the back seat? And what does this mean for Takeshita?
Well, I feel like Takeshita's taking the back seat, and he should be the one that in the prominent role.
100%. But then you can't have him and I can't take him and Callis together. Somebody got to run it down.
Him, Jericho and Callis have, they have the potential to do something that can work. Like, legitimately work. Like, mm-hmm. the same way, like MJF and Adam Cole, it can work. And not that it's going to take off like a rocket ship like those mm-hmm. two have, to where I don't want to see them break up and feud, like, keep them together. But I just don't know how they're going to, I don't know how they're going to do it to get me to buy into both of them, because I'm so just completely removed from Chris Jericho altogether right now.
See, he needs to be, he needs to be Arn to Cody to Takeshka. You just be that.
I was just thinking, like, the way you guys were saying, if he would take that step back and kind of mentor the talent, maybe this is the, maybe that could be the route. Yeah, like what you're saying, Jason. Just be, come in whenever needed into a match. If, you know, Takeshita needs a partner, okay, Jericho's on standby.
What I'm saying, Chris Jericho's a Gene Simmons without the long tongue. Pause. I mean, it's your Mount Rushmore, so you're good. AEW, there we go. Pro's not even on the show, so he's going to be mad that we have positive AEW talk. Hopefully he logs on whenever I got my shovel and I'm burying.
I'm sure that's exactly whenever he'll log in when we start talking bad, because my jabroni covers AEW, so.
When is how far away is All In?
So All Out is the 27th. Oh, which one's first?
No, All In's first, and then All Out.
So All In's the 27th, yeah. And then the following week, the 2nd, yeah. is All In.
All In is next week.
No.
September 2nd, August 27th, and then September 2nd, Labor Day weekend.
Okay, yeah. July 27th. Like, what the hell? Is
that already happened? But
never mind. Okay.
Take your fish oil.
The ginkgo biloba.
Yeah, take your Prevagen.
The days are running together.
I hear.
Yeah,
you.
I'll just stick with Dom and Rhea. The way Dom has been going through his promos now, like before, you know, the crowd would boo and he just walk around like he couldn't. So now he's just straight powering through. Hammer. It's the perfect change for him. Like the perfect switch up. I enjoy it. Love it. Keep him on my screen. And then Rhea, she's a person that she can go and she makes everybody in the ring look better. Mm-hmm. Like there's people who can go and it's great in the ring. She's all encompassing. Because that match she had with Lyra Valkyrie last week was one of the best of the week.
Yeah.
And she hasn't looked like that with anybody else in the ring on NXT. So
you could tell there was like a, I'm not going to say like mirroring of styles, but similar, you know, so it was kind of nice the way that worked out.
Are you surprised with Rhea, as young as she is, that like the switch is fully on for her and she like gets it? Like, I know the UK talents are a little bit different and Rhea's not from the UK, but Australia. You know what I mean? Like, she's from Australia, but like they, you know, they start younger than they do in the States.
Yeah.
So, but she's what, 24, 25 right now?
She started what? She didn't start much earlier than like when she was on the Mae Young Classic the first year. Like, I think she only had like maybe a year or two under her belt.
5-6 years in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, usually they say like between year 7 and 10, the light bulb goes off and you get it. And then 10 plus you hit your stride. But she's like in prime mode right now.
But I think
what's that going to say for then?
But she came in missing nothing. Like she came in totally equipped with everything. She got the character, the personality, no holes in her game. So when you have all that, you're already in mode.
I mean, I watched that Mae Young Classic whenever that was on. So, like, to watch her from that, if we call that day one, just like her, like real debut on TV to now, her character evolution, her in-ring work, just everything's just evolved with her, and it's just She's an amazing talent.
She's a legit 5-tool player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
I think she'll be one of those women that sticks around for years just to help out the next generation. You know, kind of how Trish and Lita have tried to do that. I think that's something that Rhea Ripley will be in the future.
26.
Mars with the fact check. Appreciate you, Mars. 26. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, not to jump into a sidebar real quick, but for me, as far as women's wrestler of the year goes, it's Rhea or Athena. And people are going to go, why are you picking Athena? How the hell do you pick Athena? She's in Ring of Honor. It's like, no, if you really watch.
If you watch it, you'll know.
For the course of the year, it's been them two neck and neck, and there's not anybody else that's close.
But that's the unfortunate thing of it, of the people that don't know, because it's not available to watch necessarily on mainstream. It's the same thing we can talk about with Impact, but yeah, if you were seeing Athena every week, if you were seeing Athena every week on Dynamite or Collision doing this, everybody would be talking about her.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And she and her and Willow had arguably the greatest women's match of the year so far. So,
just like the sign said, book the women's division better.
Yes. And that, honestly, I felt like after that match, it was the perfect time to put that sign up. And it had to have been a plant.
And the camera zoomed in.
Yeah,
front and center. Yeah.
Like, so something's going on. They must be working on something for whether it's an event or something. But
I don't want to jump into my sidebar of the Ring of Honor pay per view itself from last week because it was covered. Maybe you guys covered it. Maybe you didn't.
We did.
But
did we?
Okay. Yeah. That wasn't a Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
No, it was not.
Nothing about that felt Ring of Honor-ish. Ring of Honor light, Ring of Honor anything. Except for Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman on commentary. Everything else about that pay-per-view
was AEW.
Was an AEW production.
That's exactly what I said last week.
So I'm not going to rehash that. But all right. Chris, what's your Mount Rushmore?
Mine's from NXT, so if we want to go into NXT stuff I can talk about in there.
Yeah, that's fine. We can hit the bash at the beach, that breakdown now, and then we'll do Jabroni.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. 7 matches for Great American Bash, 6 on the main card, 1 pre-show. So this is the first time we've had a pre-show match in a while.
Are you bringing up your Mount Rushmore when we get to the match?
Yeah. Because
somebody's in it? Okay. Yeah. All right.
So we'll do the kickoff match
in pre-production, but again, we're just out here winging it.
That's what we do, right? So we got 8-person tag match to kick off. This was one of those clusterfucks I felt on NXT this week, hyping this one up. So I don't know what you guys felt of this, but
I just don't care about no MDAR.
It's been like that since.
Everybody else don't mind. I don't care about no MDAR.
Like, I'm okay. This is on the pre-show.
Yes. Oh, for sure. I'm with Jason. Everybody but Noam Dar. Don't care. Dragon Lee and Frazier. That team's winning.
Yeah. I don't mind what they did with the metaphor with Noam Dar and the Heritage Cup and everything else. But I thought it would have been better if they would have did like the bootleg is bootleg version of the Heritage Cup to make him snap out of his trance. Like, don't give me an exact replica. Like, give me a Lego version. Give me a miniature version.
Give me the aluminum foil.
Give me a pinata. Like, do something different to where he's just so lost in space, metaphor pause, that he physically thinks that this is the actual Heritage Cup, but everybody else can see that it's just a Lego set built together, or it's just paper mache glued together. Like, do something, because then I think you could have tied in a little bit more commentary and story to it besides just giving him an exact replica. And why are they making these people carry this big ass cup around?
I've wondered that since they implemented that in the NXT UK years ago.
Just give him a belt. Or lead the cup ringside, like everything else.
Or just do it as a tournament. Like, I get the cup in the UK is a thing, you know, that has its history. But whenever it first happened, I was like, oh, it's just going to be a tournament. The winner gets a cup. You know, we move on. And then the cup just stuck around.
Just leave the cup at ringside. No need for a belt. There's too many damn belts out there.
Give them an actual cup. Like, but an actual coffee cup. Have them carry that around.
Talk about Americanizing it.
It's what we do best.
That's what we have to say. That's what we do. Yeah.
I don't really care about any of these people, honestly.
For shame.
To me, Dragon Lee should be above this. Mm. But that's a conversation for a different day. So with that, I'll just go with the baby faces over the heels here.
After seeing it on Tuesday, I think I got it. I'll be the one that goes with the metaphor. All right, we'll kick things off on the main card: Gable Stevenson versus Baron Corbin.
I don't understand this match either. Like, why? Why is this one? So Corbin's new gimmick is what? Putting everybody over. Well, you've been doing that on the main roster for 8 years. What are we doing? Are you going to humble Gable Stevenson so he runs and goes back to training for the Olympics again? Like, what
do
are
that.
We doing?
Yeah, he came out and was like, I can go to the Olympics next year. I can go back to school. It's just like, why are we talking about this for when you're in NXT?
Let me go. Yeah, I don't need Kurt Angle Light anymore. He can go. Baron Corbin for the win.
Yeah, he needs promo class 101 bad.
He does.
The LeBron decision play like didn't work the way that they wanted it to. It had potential, but it just didn't come off. And nobody cares about Gable Stevenson. He's not LeBron James.
You're not him.
Yeah, you're not him. Go Corbin. There's no reason why you put Gable over here.
Corbin.
I'm mad this is Corbin's first match after everything he's done.
I see a trend happening here. I am picking Corbin, so holy I'll be the different shit. One.
Clip of the week. Clip of the week.
No, I said I ain't picking Corbin. So.
No, you ain't. Oh, I thought you were picking Corbin.
So you guys pick one, and then I'll pick the other one for the rest of the matches, too. All right, next up, we got a Weapons Wild match, Roxanne Perez versus Blair Davenport.
I appreciate the convenience store. Just harking. If Shawn Michaels is giving all his best hits out with "They Lost My Smile" and everything else, I'm so glad they redid Booker T and Stone Cold. Like, it was not on that level. Like, no. I needed Stone Cold in the background just chugging milk, all out of breath and blowing up. But
I need a price check on Jackass.
Yeah,
there's an ass whooping in aisle three.
Yeah, I appreciate them getting back to the stuff that got over huge during the Attitude Era. So I was all for that. I'm actually going to go with Blair here. I know I'm probably going to be in a minority, and booking would say it's going to be Roxanne, but I actually want to see Blair get this one here.
Nope, Steve, I'm with you. I want to see Blair. Mm-hmm. Roxanne always, hey, she already have a name. It's time for somebody else to get their name.
I'm going to go with... Give me Roxanne. I'm liking this side of Roxanne, but I feel if you lose the Blair, you want to run it back to make it even darker. I've seen this match before already, so... Give me Roxanne in this feud.
I mean, that's the point of this match. There's no one person that has the advantage. It's just even the playing field for both of them. So it can go either way, but I think Blair just has that edge. That's just her type of character. So I'm going Blair for this one.
But it is refreshing to see a show that has multiple storylines for women that just aren't in the title picture.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they're all
important.
What a concept.
I mean, I know Impact Wrestling does it all the time, but nobody watches it. So it's like, okay, well, Tuesday night's NXT gets plenty of eyes, and they're literally doing it week in and week out.
Yeah.
Can't live, can I?
Next up, we'll go NXT Tag Team Championship Champions Gallus versus the Family.
This is your clip of the week, isn't it? Not your clip of the week, but your Mount Rushmore.
No.
I think the best part
away from that.
I think the best part of this feud was Julius Creed's tweet with Tony D'Angelo in the gym with his shirt off workout picture, and he said, "Hey, I need to get a hold of your lawyer that got you out of jail free match card because I'm looking for a job currently." So at least Julius Creed is online playing of the gimmick that they're officially out of NXT. I'll go with the Family. But I need Tony D'Angelo to get back on strong footing here, because I think he's somebody that can turn into something, and he's been floating just too much in the abyss lately for far too long. So
sometimes there's too much story and not enough wrestling. That's where D'Angelo falls for me. Too much story, not enough wrestling.
Well, he was hurt, so that I feel like that's why they overextended the story in this situation, because he was injured. So if he wasn't injured, I don't think we would have got it dragged out as long as we did, which maybe would have improved the anticipation for this match.
It's not like there's a lot going in the NXT tag team division, though. So
shit, they had a lot going on, and then just hit the wall.
Yeah.
If you're looking from a booking perspective as far as where Sean has lacked, it would be the men's tag team division.
I'm not a fan of Gallus. I'm going with the Family on this.
You guys know how I feel about Gallus. It's like watching grass grow. They're terrible. The Family.
Same reason I'm picking, the Family, because Gallus does nothing for me. And
I don't even want to pick the Family.
Can't wrestle, can't do a promo. Wish versions of the Brawling Brutes. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I mean, they're a lot safer than Ridge Holland, so
they were established before the Brutes. They were which version?
Who's on the main show?
All right, we'll probably go into what you guys will think will be your match of the night because of the NXT North American Championship, Dirty Dom, Wesley, Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, match of the night.
Of course. You got the third best wrestler in all promotions right now in this match. Mm-hmm.
The Vince coin. Dirty Dom Mysterio.
I hate you so much.
Chris just carries the Mysterio hate down generation. Like, oh, you're Rey Mysterio's great, 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 great grandson? I'm out. You suck.
He texted me that last night that I said, I was like, quantity doesn't equal quality. Just because he's on TV all three shows each week doesn't mean he's the third best wrestler.
He's knocking it out of the park.
Hey, everything. Who watches Raw? They watch him for
Raw. Biggest heel in pro wrestling. I got Dirty Dom retaining. Oh,
yeah. Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dom, yeah.
That's what I'm expecting. So I'll take him.
Clip it.
And I'll even go this could have potential to be match of the night too.
He might have no parts of the match of the night aspect, but
all right, we'll move on. NXT Women's Championship, a submission match. Tiffany Stratton versus Thea Hale.
I don't know where to go. They didn't book Tiffany like I wanted her to. She come off as that strong champ, heel champ. Give me Thea. It probably won't happen, but give me Thea.
I would like Thea to win, homtown hero, but Tiffany.
Yeah, Plum High School Zone. Mm-hmm. She's what, 19?
I don't know. I think so. 19, 20.
Everything lines. They with this story, they've built Thea tremendously, and they've got everybody behind her 19. To see her want to beat the heel champ, which is what you want to do when you have a babyface chasing a heel champ.
Yes.
And then the heel champ pulls the rug out from underneath her at the last second. So this is like professional wrestling 101 here with how they've told this story and how they built it up. So I got Tiffany winning. I don't know how she's going to submit her, but
even have a submission.
Yeah, see, I don't even think she has one, but I
remember Taker never had one for years.
Then he side headlock.
That's a stretch. She's gonna use a body scissors and just squeeze her ribs until she taps out.
Sleeper hold. No, basic.
Yeah. We're just gonna list all the 1001 news of Jericho. Yeah.
That was the last time Jericho was relevant.
I'd be surprised if they took the title off Tiffany yet right now. So I'm going Tiffany on this one.
And Chase, you can't win anything. They're supposed to lose everything. That's their gimmick. All
right, moving on to the main event. NXT Championship, Carmelo Hayes versus Ilya Dragunov.
I am hoping, this is in a perfect world, Ilya wins and Carmelo is up on the main roster with the new version or iteration of the Hurt Business or whatever they're going to call this group. I don't need Ilya to be just a random challenger for the title in a long run, because there's no point in that. He's too good for that. So let him win. Let him run NXT. Melo and Trick are rumored to be just hugely high up on everybody's list in the main roster world. So from Hunter, everybody down just apparently is in love with these two. And you saw the tease with them talking to Bobby. You saw them last night with Bobby sit down with the Street Profits, that Bobby said, hey, Melo and Trick put you guys over. Mm-hmm. Not the other way around. It wasn't Bobby sit with Melo and Trick and said, hey, the Street Profits put you over. No, they said Melo and Trick put you over. So if you're using them to put over the Street Profits, who have been a main roster act for how many years now? Have Melo lose in a blaze of glory and go up and run with this gimmick on the main roster, because now we can get a Judgment Day versus Bobby and them, whoever. Mm-hmm. Like
Bobby and them. That's gonna be the name, Bobby and them. Yeah.
Steve needs to print the t-shirts to have them ready.
Bobby and them.
Sit outside PPG Arena Payback. Bobby and them.
Because I don't want it to be the Hurt Business or the Hurt Business 2.0. Like, yeah. I don't want it, because that was something separate that we got the rug pulled out from underneath us, and we never got the version that we wanted to get with it. Whenever we saw them, the four of them in the ring, suited and booted, ready to go, you're like, okay, this is great. And then you just completely shit on all of us. So, and if you bring up Melo and Trick, you got Melo and Montez that can talk. So you don't need Bobby to be the promo guy in the group.
No.
You got Trick, who's the hype man, who can take all the bumps. You got Montez and Melo, who are the cocky, can talk, and, you know, Bobby's your muscle. And then you got Angelo Dawkins, who just comes in and cleans everybody up and stirs the pot. Like, you got a formula for a great group. I don't know how I'm going to feel seeing Dawkins in a suit, but you know, it's like Jason wearing something besides a hoodie. It just doesn't feel right.
It'll be an official sweatsuit. That's what it'll be.
Or what if he just comes out in like a velour suit? Like
coming out like Ric Flair. This sweatsuit cost $1,000. It'll just show like I showed velour.
Sweatsuit, a tailored velour sweatsuit with some shell toes on.
Did you just call Trick Brandon Cutler?
No, because Trick is way more than that. Don't do that to Trick. Hey, Trick has actually grown. Trick has actually grown on me tremendously. Pause.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. From that, that knockout match with Wesley, where they had the glove, that piece of shit match, to where he's at now, leaps and bounds.
Yeah,
leaps and bounds.
And Melo's more of a heel, anyways. So yes, like, he is. I like what he's done as a babyface champ. He's proven he can fight as a babyface champ and fight from underneath and everything else. I think Ilya is going to bring an ass whooping to him that he's never had brought to him before. And Ilya has played that up because that was going to be my Mount Rushmore last week, was a promo segment between them two. Like, I really want to see this match. And this is a match of the weekend for me. Out of everything that's going on, even though I love FTR and MJF and Adam Cole, like, I got these two holding it down all weekend. So,
Dragunov does not have bad matches.
Never had one yet. I have not seen him have one bad match yet.
He is the definition of consistent. This was my Mount Rushmore from this week. As much as we shit on go-home shows, that ending segment to NXT this week was probably one of the best go-home segments I've watched in a long time from any promotion, because that segment put over Dragunov so well to make him, we always joked about, got to make Roman look strong. That made Dragunov look strong on Tuesday night. That it made me want to see what happens this week, made me look forward to this match. I've been a fan for a long time, but I just get so tired of 2.0 shitting over UK talent.
That's where I'm gonna go too.
Yeah, and it's just like, so this to me would be a big win for that, and to finally put over some UK talent.
You know, I don't want to say the name of the wrestler because it's been banned and blackballed name since the incident happened. But Dragunov's intensity in the ring and his physicality and how he brings it, and just like you said, Chris, the consistency at which he does it. He reminds me of another wrestler that has the same first name as Chris. And his last name starts with
someone that, someone that was rabid.
Velveteen Dream.
Like, I know he's never mentioned because of what happened, and rightfully so, because it was a horrific incident. But if you're just looking at wrestler for wrestler wise, and you take out everything else, which is hard to do because of how tragic it was, so you can't take all that out. But Dragunov to me is the closest thing since we've seen the other guy in the ring. Like, that's immediately who I think of when I see Dragunov go. And that other guy never had a bad match.
Yeah.
Taquan is not afraid to just roll off everybody who has been canceled.
Yeah. In professional
so, dude, he's running down a list. He's just running down a list. He's running them all out. But.
Yeah, for me, I pick Elliot.
It's the way around it.
What we need to say for when you will, Ty. We got you. That's what we comments are here. That's why we interact. Throw it out there and you can catch all the heat.
Right now, outside of the ring, I don't care for Dragunov. The character or anything. He sells me in the ring. It's just outside. I don't care. I don't know why.
You know, wasn't like, that the same? Wasn't that the exact same thing you would say about the other guy? He was too bland. He had no character. He was just stone faced.
Nah, but I,
interesting. You didn't get invested in him. This and that, and then it turned into a magical WrestleMania moment. Like you can get there with Ilya.
I was kind of invested outside of the ring. Like you said, that was your promo to me. They just said nothing to me when they were going back and forth. And I feel like this range is going to be too
this short week or last week?
I don't know. They blend together now because they didn't say shit either time for me.
All
I think this week with the whole stuff with Trick, you know, like that encompassed most of the show.
Oh, okay.
This week. I think, you know, yeah, like with him attacking Trick, I think that's what could definitely play into some, maybe some shenanigans in this match. You know, Trick getting his emotions, get the best of him, and maybe costing Carmelo the match.
But I don't think if you have Ilya win, it's not a black mark against Melo's title reign either, especially if you're just bringing him up to the main roster and putting him with Bobby and the Street Profits, and they're going to go and do some shit. Now, based on what they have done with integrating, you know, main roster talent onto NXT, probably not going to hurt to have your NXT champ in a major group up on the main roster where that belt is being displayed and, you know, shined up on all the time. So,
Dirty
Dom. Not a bad idea. You got Dom doing it with the North American. Not a bad way to get people to want to tune in to NXT on Tuesday nights, because I clearly what I think they're trying to do in NXT right now is beat AEW in the ratings. Even though they're not head to head, they want more people to watch NXT than what tunes in for AEW.
We talked about that last week. That rumor is that in the contract negotiations, NXT could be moved back to Wednesday nights.
You know where my eyes will be.
My eyes will be on AEW.
Oh, for sure.
So
give me Mello.
That's my match of the night.
Mello.
Yeah.
For me, Elliot.
Run it back later.
Yeah.
Elliot slaying Braun and Mello, that pretty much cements him as the guy. Not a bad way to cement somebody. He still got 1A and 1B of NXT over the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
2+ years. So, all right. Well, there's our breakdown for NXT Bash at the Beach. Hit us up on social media. Let us know which matches we got right, which we got wrong.
What's the event?
Is it a Bash at the Beach?
Great American Bash one.
Whatever. Oh. It's a Bash. There was a Bash at Sunday.
Oh, I think that's the Vice documentary coming up, right?
The what?
Isn't that the Vice documentary coming up? Bash at the Beach?
I don't know.
Yeah. 2000.
I don't know because I don't get Vice on my YouTube TV, yeah. So I got to wait till the season's over with to catch Dark Side of the Ring on Hulu whenever they upload season 4.
Yeah, they're doing that this week.
Okay.
The Hogan Jarrett stuff.
Another Hogan documentary.
Of course.
Of course.
All right, Gary. Jabronis, where are we going?
I think we'll put spots on here every week because right now I'm over table spots.
Oh, okay, nice. He's got his foot.
I'm gonna go heavy. It's heavy on WWE because the announcer table's getting broke every week. But I'm tired of table spots. I'm tired of fans chanting, "We want tables" in every match. It could be a submission match. They're chanting, "We want tables." I'm over it.
The Dudleys aren't in the ring 20 years ago.
The spot's not as special anymore. It's losing its luster.
For me, Jungle Boy's whole promo was so bad.
The only thing I liked about that was when he walked out and was dragging the belt on the ground. Like that.
He came out bad-mouthing the belt. I was like, oh, he is going to retire this, thank God. And then just continued on with it.
Nope, he's going to wrestle every ECW legend that can still wrestle.
Why?
Yeah.
Just Sabu's coming back?
Oh. That's why you had him earlier at the pay-per-view, you know? Had to test out the waters first. You know how insane he gets at times. Yeah. This is going to be bad.
Yeah.
This is going to be bad.
So you really fighting Jerry Lynn?
When Jerry Lynn came out, at first I was like, who is this guy? I thought that was CM Punk's guy at first. I really did. That means more legends on screen.
You confuse Jerry Lynn with Ace Steel?
Then they all look the same.
Oh, so look, we all look the same.
Wait.
We all look the same.
That table.
Oh. Yeah. So that means more Legends on TV time. You know, my fight against that.
Jungle Boy was going to be my jabroni last week because the just everything about it was terrible. The little play the Jungle Boy song, then you cut that off. The stupid vignette in the desert. He acts like he's dragging Jungle Boy in and he's burying him out in the desert. And then he comes back and he walks out to Beethoven Symphony No. 5. It's not a heel move. That's just dumb.
Great music.
Great music. Terrible spot.
So, yeah, that was my jabroni last week. But all right, so Jungle Boy's on the list 2 weeks in a row. Great. See how long he can stay up on the jabroni of the list, the jabroni of the week.
Switch that out of 210 music.
I booked it weeks ago.
Switch to that.
What I booked a month ago for Jungle Boy's heel turn is way better than what they're giving us right now.
So far.
And you still could have had him win the FTW belt that way. It would be even a bigger dick move if he won it that way because he's a Hollywood pompous heel ass running around with a hardcore title from a guy that used to choke everybody out. Instead, you get him come out in the orange and black. So now Taz is blowing a gasket because nobody else in the United States can wear orange.
It's the color combo.
I think somebody else was wearing orange and black way before Taz.
The Bengals.
The Bengals. Not the music group, the football team.
You never know Jason, though.
Yeah, Jason's track record. Three white women in a group. That's right up his alley.
Chris, there's Jason's t-shirt next week. My jabroni of the week, no surprise, Moxley. I do not need to see him going against Orange Cassidy for the international title. It's like, get that man away from any title. He came out and started beating up Cassidy. I was like, what the?
And new.
When is that going?
It's probably going to happen at one of the pay-per-views, but
I thought you said next week.
No. Yeah, they didn't announce it yet, but just the way that it was playing off on Dynamite.
It could happen. You know, AEW.
It's going to be one of the pay-per-views. I don't know which one yet, but no. Moxley doesn't need anywhere near a title. Just get him away. Get him away. Get him away.
I'm going to piggyback off your jabroni and throw that whole main event from Dynamite on there. It was like, work on your timing, please. I don't know what was supposed to happen, but you're cutting to the music while BCC's intro is still going. You're ringing the bell to start the match. As soon as the match starts, everything goes straight fast forward from then on. Like, I've never seen BCC should be working at that fast a pace. It should only be Lucha Brothers going fast and everybody trying to catch up. No, everybody was getting their spots in just to have a little clusterfuck fight at the end.
That's what they do. That's AEW booking.
Brawl. Remember that brawl?
You could just draft the match ahead of the brawl.
That'll be this week. Same thing, different outcome. You know, Jason, you were talking about spots. Honestly, my other jabroni was going to be was actually going to be Dom for the week. Because during the contract signing, whenever Sammy came in, ran into the ring, was about to hit Priest with a chair, and Dom ran in the ring, and instead grabbing the chair, he was there too early and just stood there. It's like, okay, I'll wait till you're not hitting him with the chair. And then he goes up. It's just like, oh.
Hey, give him a minute of time. He's still learning on the fly.
Not the third best wrestler in professional wrestling right now. No, I'm not giving that.
He don't need that. He's a champion. You know, I've seen champs run out the ring before.
He can run out the ring, just not stand there like a little bitch.
I mean, everybody in the Battle Royal did it last night. Like I said.
I'm glad I didn't tune into Rampage last night after the way you're talking about it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, my jabroni is AEW, literally just AEW. I turned on Dynamite. Excalibur immediately ran through the entire card for Dynamite. And I switched over to Shark Week on Discovery Channel. I didn't watch it. No? I didn't watch it. No, because you give me that lineup of matchups, there wasn't one single storyline for any single match that was listed on Dynamite. You had a couple backstage segments that allegedly advanced some stories with Jericho and all that. But that lineup and that match card with nothing, everything being a cold match, not going to get me to tune in. I watched Shark Week. And then I watched Shark Week and I watched the Women's World Cup. That's what I watched on Wednesday night. And then Rampage last night was just as bad. Tony Khan,
Rampage was bad.
Has no idea how to book episodic TV. You can only run so far on just booking matches for matches' sake. Even if that is your entire fan base, which we've talked about on the show before. You are a month out, as we said earlier in the show, you are a month out from All In. In Wembley, 77,000 plus. Not one match. WWE would not be one out from WrestleMania without one match booked. With no direction on who's going to be facing who. Ring of Honor was not Ring of Honor.
And that was booked the same week of the pay-per-view, too.
You had two AEW guys wrestling for the Ring of Honor title on a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. No point. No point. The only saving grace is Collision right now, and I honestly feel that the only reason why that's a saving grace is because Tony Khan has nothing to do with Collision.
Last week, Collision even wasn't even it. Collision and Dynamite this week, I felt were about the same. I'm looking forward to Collision this week, but
we had a 2 out of 3 falls match last week, so it's kind of hard to screw up that show because that match stole the show
2 weeks,
or 2 weeks ago. But yeah, I'm completely and absolutely utterly not interested in AEW right now. I'm over you just announcing matches for matches. And you can try to lay out the stories that they're telling right now. Don't see it. Jungle Boy and Hook. Yeah, okay. It's a story. It's for an unsanctioned title. It means absolutely nothing. And the heel character comes out to the worst music ever selected as a pro wrestler. Jericho joining the Don Callis family. Okay. How's that supposed to get me wound up? Because the feud with the Elite is over. So where's the Don Callis family hate going to go to? Because the whole ire of the Don Callis family is to take out Kenny Omega. Who we have not seen since when? Blood and Guts.
Yeah, he missed
his winning. 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like you cannot run out that, you know, like sometimes you go to the strip club and you go a little early and you know you're getting the JV squad. It is what it is. You're there. Buffet's fire. You're there a little early. You're getting JV squad, right? No. No. Wednesday night Dynamite, I need the varsity team out there. I need your A-team. I need your all-conference starters. Not your freshman squad, you know, with
that's what Rampage is for.
Titties that look like marbles and ankle socks. I don't need that.
Why do we have two weeks of titty references? That's
tremendous. But yeah, I literally ran through the lineup and turned it off.
That's like
to when watch I was Shark Week. Sharks.
I think Darby and Swerve is a storyline you've wasted on TV.
Wasted. I have no interest in
that. Could have been potential. Great match. Could have been potential for to play along to a main or to a pay-per-view. You just wasted it on TV.
Just like with Cassidy and AR Fox. And then they started showing Darby Allin and AR from back in the day. Like, what the hell does this have to do with the match? Of course, it told you later what was going to happen, but
that was their story build. That was their story build.
I was like, what the
hell?
We got Darby Allin 2 weeks in a row being the catalyst for storytelling in AEW. He gave you a Nick Wayne vignette and how instrumental he was in his career and how he trained with his dad and everything else. And it's this great story, and they're going to tag team and have this moment. And yay, Darby. And then Darby transitions to tell this story about how he drove across the country living in his car until AR Fox invited him in his home. And AR Fox is the greatest, most generous guy ever. And that Darby Allin would not be in professional wrestling without AR Fox.
Story time with Darby Allin.
And then 10 minutes later, the guy turns on him. Oh, I'm supposed to be heartbroken.
When I first saw that, I was like, what the hell does this got to do with Cassidy?
Imagine if you got the bloodline.
They'd have been better off bringing in Cassidy the Rapper. At least we'd have got better stories with him.
I enjoyed like the matches in the first hour of Dynamite were entertaining for me. But after I turned off Dynamite, it's just like the first thing I said was that was pretty much a forgettable episode of Dynamite.
This is the last thing I'm going to say about AEW right now. Based on what they've done this week, you want to know what I'm doing tonight? I'm going to watch Transformers Rise of Beasts instead of Collision. And you're making that face, Chris. It's arguably one of the best Transformers movies that were done and got rave reviews. It has nothing to do with Paramount? The other one.
I was checking yesterday.
Yeah, it's on Paramount. Yeah.
Free? It's
on Paramount. Yep, free. Yep.
Okay. That's what I'm doing.
That should tell you everything you need to know.
No, just because it's coming out.
Yeah.
Every time I want to watch this, you want to buy it. No, I don't want to buy it. It's not that good.
It was what? Just released in theaters in June, right?
It's coming on DVD this week.
Hey, at least it went straight to streaming. Where's the Flash at?
Coming soon.
They're trying to get their money still. Let's not make this a complete flop. You know, let's try to get some more money.
So, yeah, that's what I'm doing tonight instead of watching Collision. Because of just how disgusted I am with AEW right now. And I don't know where they go. I have no idea. Because I don't know what the Young Bucks are doing. I don't know what Hangman's doing. Allegedly, they're all re-signing with AEW. They brought in Scotty Tuhati to try out as a producer for matches. Orange Cassidy is allegedly producing matches now. Like, what the hell are they doing over there?
Welcome back to WCW.
Yep.
All the talent's going to run shit.
Kevin Nash, the booker.
They have the talent there to help Tony Khan to make a good show. And I just don't know. I would love to work there one day just to see how things actually are in place.
Hey, look, all I'm saying is that their storytelling really hasn't been the best storytelling since somebody left.
Yep. Since Tony took over completely.
He's booking it like a fan just books fantasy wrestling matches. I've said this 1,000 times on this show. I'm not going to continue to harp on it, but he is the owner, the sole player in his fantasy wrestling booking league. DraftKings is a sponsor. Just line up your wrestlers, select your team, and let's build matches because it's literally what he does every single week. So, yeah, I'll be watching Transformers. You just can let me know how Collision was. So, with that being said, what do we?
You can give me that thumbs up or thumbs down for Transformers later too.
Oh, absolutely. What do we got for a game this week?
All right, our game this week. We usually do one got to go on the show. This one's going to be only one can stay. since we're talking about NXT Great American Bash, this is going to be for NXT. You got the game show era of, from whenever it first started, developmental, black and gold, or 2.0. And this is whatever, this is Thanos snap. So whatever era, so whichever one stays, all the other ones got to go. So this is the
only Jason do this homework assignment for you? This is the laziest. We're talking about Tony Khan's booking. This is the laziest booking I've ever seen for this game show segment that we do each week.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to start doing one got to goes.
Look, even Taquan threw this out there. Laziness. Taquan, the laziness.
Hey. There's only one era NXT that stays. We all know what it is.
Black and gold, Wiz Khalifa, black and yellow, whatever you want to. I mean, it's not even a debate. This is the quickest game show we've ever done on this.
Mine's actually developmental.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, okay. Developmental because you're so invested in just having see new people come up through the ranks and everything else. You build a wrestler. You 2K23 build a wrestler.
You can sit there and you can fucking shit on it, but every week whenever it was on, it wasn't on TV, and I would find it to watch it because I was actually invested in the developmental era of it, and it was entertaining to me. And if we wouldn't have had that, we wouldn't have got down to it. I mean, if you watched all the eras, I don't know if you guys watched all of them, but
The only one that I did not watch, like truly watch, was the beginning, like the first from like the iteration, like with the FCW through, you know, I wasn't there watching Bo Dallas and Paige win NXT titles.
Okay, in the developmental era.
The mail must have came.
Did you watch the game show era? That was on USA?
I did not watch that. I wasn't watching wrestling at that point.
Because that was pretty bad, but the talent.
You're tired. Like you're talking like the wrestler protege era with Bray Wyatt and Cody Rhodes, where you know that's the alleged reason why Bray's gonna come back. He's gonna take out his pro wrestler Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam. It's the alleged rumor for that booking. I don't even know what roster Bray Wyatt's on.
I don't know if he was drafted.
I mean, the draft don't matter. Odyssey Jones got drafted to Raw, but apparently he's going to debut on SmackDown in the next coming week, so it don't matter.
Judgment Day was drafted to Raw, and they're on all three brands.
Yep.
Because you got the third hottest wrestler in pro wrestling, you need to get him on the TV.
Yep. You got to get him on TV. Yep.
I don't know what happened to Jason here, but
the mailman came.
Mail person, because there are mail carriers. Now for me, I mean, black and gold for me was probably the best iteration of NXT. Yeah.
We went to that NXT show in Dallas. It was, you know how it was, Chris.
You know. Yeah, I think you have some, you know, bleed over and some running from the, you know, the developmental into the black and gold, but
you know,
like
I kind of broke it down because I, like you said, there's some bleed over. Like I kind of considered it up until TakeOver, and then TakeOver was 2014 to 2021. That's what I consider
black. The very first TakeOver
was 2014, yeah, when the network launched.
Yeah, so like I came in like TakeOver Our Revolution was the very first like TakeOver sit down watch be absolutely just like enthralled in everything that was going on that show. Owen's debut to Owen's turning on Sami Zayn, I was like, oh, I'm watching this show every single week.
Yeah.
And from there it
was like I think 2015.
So yeah, that was like before then, wouldn't even turn it on the network.
I went down to Fatal 4-Way in 2014, and the experience at Full Sail was incredible. Just that was like the closest thing I could imagine wrestling at that time being close to ECW fans. how invested they were in that programming.
Yeah. But black and gold. I think there's an argument that you could have been made if you would have done if you would have did it a debate this and you had black and gold versus the Attitude Era.
You might have done your homework early.
Huh?
You might have just done your homework early.
My debate this is done for next week. I already know what I'm doing. So I can send it over to you now. I can send it over to you now for the early submission, but I've been sitting on this one since I did my last one. I can't wait for this one. And I'm kind of mad that you're not going to be on the show to discuss it. So
they'll be on the show next week.
Oh, you are going to be on the show? Yeah. Oh, you're just not going to be around for
SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you're going to the Pink concert.
Hate on it if you want to. Grown-ass man going to a Pink concert. Don't give a shit.
Man.
I remember anything you want to.
Man, I remember when me and Jason got off of a plane. It came right to your house to watch TakeOver. Vince had us in the grass. Vince and Hunter right there. Nope. Yeah. Times change.
Vince doesn't have me for anything anymore.
Pink, yes. Pink is completely random. Didn't even know Pink was still out doing shows.
Stadium shows, nonetheless. That's the part that surprised me.
Stadium.
Yeah. Stadium.
PNC wow. Park.
Yeah.
That's no stadium. Who plays down there?
Better off playing down there, but
yeah, you better off playing at the Wolverina.
We got anything else?
That was fast.
That's what she said.
What was that?
That's what he said.
Did you make a new friend?
What?
He don't even remember the beginning of the show.
It wasn't the mailman. Nah, the connection was bad. So I'm on my phone, so we'll see how this works.
Just like, nope. It's coming back. Slap the laptop away.
All right. Any final thoughts before we plug in, wrap up the show?
I think I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good.
Jay's good. All right. Well, that's the show, folks. Thanks for tuning in to episode 146. 146.
Yep.
146 of the Dumb Marks Podcast. Your boys, each and every single Saturday, you can always catch your favorite Saturday Brunch Bunch live at 11 a.m. Hit us up on all social media platforms at Dumb Marks Pod. Head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/Dumb Marks Pod. Pick up some merch. We'll give you a live shout out on the air. Email the show with questions, concerns, answers, what you like, what you don't like. We're always up for conversations and criticism at dumbmarkspod@gmail.com. And with that being said, a little positivity, as we always like to carry into the new week. Always go with the choice that scares you the most, because that's the one that'll help you grow. Always go with the choice that scares you the most, because that's the one that'll help you grow. True. And until next time, I'm a Mark, you're a Mark Telemark. Y'all can catch us around the way.